Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Well, hello there, family. If you aren't in the Christmas spirit right now, that's on you. Wow. I love our children's choir. I'm so grateful for our directors. Thank you so much, Phil and Crystal, for what you do. Thank you to the parents who make the sacrifice, like Phil was saying a little earlier, to be here early and do two services. I thought I might get, physically assaulted when I suggested that the children stay up there for my sermon. I think you wouldn't pay much attention to me if that happened. I am so glad we have children in this church. It is such a blessing. Welcome to the holiday season. Welcome to Christmas. I hope that you will have the best Christmas, a Christmas that's completely filled with Jesus. And that is obviously the best Christmas of all. I'm doing a three-part series this Christmas season called Overflowing Gifts. And I'm going to talk to you about the gifts that I think are the main gifts in the Christmas story that we find in the Gospels. And who doesn't like overflowing gifts? Right? Everybody likes you like overflowing gifts? I grew up in a household where the overflowing gifts was kind of a big deal. My mom loves opening gifts, and more gifts, the better. And so that was a little bit of a challenge when my brother and I were younger, because my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and it was just my dad. He was early in his career, so there wasn't a whole lot of money. But my mom did not let that stop her from having overflowing gifts under the tree, because my mom is a very creative person. She didn't spend more money, really. What she did is she just wrapped everything. Like, I'm pretty sure she wrapped the cans that we were going to eat the food out of on Christmas Day. I think that might be an exaggeration, Mom, if you're watching. But I have opened Tic Tacs before. That has happened. I have opened bubble gum. That's another one. So my mom would go, socks, clothing, anything that was going to be used in the next 2 months got wrapped and put under the tree. And if you've ever had that happen, if you've had that experience, you have a parent that's like that, you know that you're kind of looking for the good gifts, right? The good gifts, not the filler, the good stuff. You kind of sort through looking for that good stuff. And it wasn't that you weren't thankful for the Tic Tacs. You were, but you were looking for the fire truck. That's what you were looking for. That's what you wanted to find. Now, as long as I'm picking on my mom, I might as well pick on my father-in-law for a minute too. My father-in-law, when we first moved to Spokane, Washington, my father-in-law gives great gifts. He is a very good gift giver. And the first time that we were living in Spokane, Washington, I opened up his gift on Christmas, and it was a pair of boots. Now, some of you are like, awesome, I would have loved that. I don't know. I mean, okay, thank you. I have a pair of boots. I guess I grew up in North Carolina, lived most recently in Georgia, so I did not understand what cold weather really was. I had my Georgia boots. Let me tell you, have you ever had a gift that you got and you weren't that enthusiastic about it, but later on you're like, oh, yes, This was an excellent gift. Those boots were amongst the best gift I have ever got. They were warm. They were fleeced on the inside. They had great traction. So when you were on ice, you did not slip. You got that firm foundation. Then when you're snowing out, shoveling snow out of your quarter mile driveway, you know, your feet don't get cold. They're great. They're weatherproof. So really one of those gifts. And so when I tell you today that my first sermon in our series of overflowing gifts, I'm talking about the gift of prophecy. I suspect there are a few of you here today who have this little expression. Not the overflowing gift that I wanted. Can't we talk about baby Jesus, angels, maybe even wise men? I don't know, but overflowing gifts we're going to talk about. Prophecy? This is a Christmas series, Ken. So, here's my goal. By the way, thanks to Advent Health University, the Santa that you see there is one of the faculty members in the PA department, and he is besides being an amazing instructor, he also is a professional Santa. And every year, our staff go over to Advent Health University, which is our campus university. We're the campus church for them. And we go over a couple of our staff and judge. They decorate their doors. And we do. And so that's from last year when I was over there judging. They tell me to wear a crazy outfit, so I take them up on it. I always try to find the craziest outfit, and that one definitely qualified. So, I know some of you are thinking, okay, prophecy, really? This is not the Christmas sermon. Isn't that something you maybe do in the summertime or, you know, some series on Revelation and Daniel? I want you to know that the Christmas story overflows with the gift of prophecy. And I feel it's like my father-in-law's boots. You only really start appreciating them the more you wear them. And so let's talk about, I want to do this. You guys, can you hang on really quick? And I mean, you're going to have to really hang on, okay? And I actually talked to our team this week because I am going to move so quickly, there is no way you're going to keep up. I mean, some of you are like, challenge accepted. I see that in your eyes. So I've asked our communications team to put the whole presentation on the website. So it'll be where the video is from today. So don't worry if I move through the slides really quick and you're like, that's way too fast. It is. Feel free to look it up during the week or after lunch today and look at it. But what I want to do is I want to show you as many of the areas that prophecy plays into the Christmas story that we can as I can. But that means I have to move fast. We ready to go? Okay, I heard someone say ready to go. All right, so the first part that we see in the Old Testament prophecies about the Christmas story. And I'm going to show you the places in the gospel story where it mentions an Old Testament prophecy, and then I'll tell you where that's found. So, the throne of David, what does this have to do? Well, God told David that he would always have a ruler, somebody of his descendants on the throne of David. Jesus winds up being from the line of David. That's found right there in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 through 33, and it is referencing Psalms 132:11 and 2 Samuel 7:12 through 16. I told you I'm moving fast. How about born of a virgin? That's also referenced in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and he's referencing a passage in Isaiah 7:14. So Matthew says, look, Messiah is going to be born to a virgin. There you go. Born in Bethlehem. That's foretold that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And Matthew again talks about this happening. He is mentioning that from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The Old Testament even foretells that Jesus is going to have to be an exile, a foreign person who has to go find relief in another country. He has to flee Herod and he goes to Egypt where he is finds asylum from Herod. So Jesus goes to Egypt and there is a text that talks about that in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. How about the fact that the Old Testament also foretells that Herod is going to murder a bunch of babies, which is a really horrible thing and a super sad part of the Christmas story that we generally gloss over really quickly. But that's foretold in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. How about settlement in Nazareth, that Jesus is going to, he may be born in Bethlehem, but he is going to be called a Nazarene. And Matthew says that. Now, there's not an exact place in the Old Testament does it, but there's a couple little allusions to it in Judges and in the book of Isaiah. So those are some of the prophecies. But how about some other ones that aren't referenced? How about right at the very beginning, after Adam and Eve sin, God comes and says, I'm going to cause hostility. He's speaking to the serpent. He said, I'm going to cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your heel. The serpent will strike your, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. So foretelling that Jesus is going to come and overthrow what Satan has done here on earth. Right at the very beginning, right in Genesis, right there, the prophecies begin about Jesus being there. How about this one that we see? And through your descendants, God talking to Abraham, through your descendants, Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. Through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Would you say that the descendants of the entire world have been blessed by Jesus? Jesus isn't just for the Jewish people. Jesus is for everyone. He has been a blessing to the world. That's a prophecy. How about this one? In Numbers chapter 24, a star will rise from Jacob, a scepter will emerge from Israel, foretelling again that Jesus, this star, is going to come. By the way, this is one of the passages that some theologians believe that the Magi, the wise men, had read. They had read that they'd heard there would be a star, and they were watching for that star, and that's part of the Christmas story because they were paying attention to that. And another verse that I'm going to share with you here in another minute or two. How about this one? For a child, one of my favorite Christmas verses, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is Jesus your Prince of Peace? Is he your Everlasting Father? Is he the Mighty God in your life? Is he a Wonderful Counselor to you? I love this text. It is a prophecy about who Jesus is going to be. Now listen, understand. This is one that's fun, right? Daniel, chapter 9, verse 25. Now listen, understand. 7 sets of 7 plus 62 sets of 7 will pass from the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until the ruler, the anointed one, Messiah, comes. You do know that Daniel actually gives a timeline for when the Messiah can be expected. You ready for me to explain it? All right, there it is. And now we move on. Okay. I told you, go look it up afterwards. It's there, okay? I don't have time to do, and I'm not good at math, so you're going to have to, but it's there. Again, another prophecy that gave the people looking for the Messiah to come a timeline, and not an exact moment, but a timeline of when to expect Jesus to be there. And again, a lot of some theologians speculate that the Magi had been studying Daniel 9, and they're watching for the star, and at that time period, they're like, this is it, let's go. How about other prophecies that occur actually in the gospel story about Jesus' birth? How about the angels appearing to the shepherds? I have glad tidings, good news. They foretell where Jesus is at. They tell the shepherds what to look for, and they say it's good news. Don't be afraid. Fear not. A child is born to you. How about Zechariah and Gabriel? If you're not familiar who Zechariah is, he is the father of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is going to go on to prepare the way for Jesus. And he and his wife Elizabeth aren't able to have children. And so an angel shows up and says to Zechariah, you are going to have a son, and your son is going to do some spectacular things. This is prophecy occurring, an angel talking to Zechariah. How about Mary and Gabriel? Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, hey, you are about to become the mother of God. You are like Jesus, the Messiah. You are going to become the mother. That's an incredible thing. And I love Mary's response. Let it be done as you said. A lot of us could learn from Mary, right? When God says he wants to do something for us that's going to be hard, do what you said. Let it be. I know it's going to be hard, but if you promised it, you'll get me through it. How about Mary and Elizabeth? If you've never read Luke 1:39 through 56, would you please go home this afternoon and read it? It's one of the most beautiful songs, prophecies. It's called the Magnificat that Mary says when she's talking to Elizabeth. Both of them are pregnant. Mary's pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary has this beautiful prayer that she says, and it's prophetic in nature. Read it and see for yourself. Then there's Simeon and Anna that meet Jesus in the temple when he's being dedicated. And I'm going to get back to Simeon here in a few minutes, but these are prophets that speak God in this situation. So at this point, you're saying, okay, Ken, thank you for all that. That's awesome. By the way, any guess of how many prophecies there are that Jesus fulfilled? Conservative side, 300 plus. Very liberal side, over 500, depending on which theological circles you believe in. But 300 to 500 prophecies. So can I just say that Jesus coming to this earth and Jesus' Christmas story is overflowing with the gift of prophecy. But maybe you are a little bit like I am where you grew up. And when you hear the word prophecy, your stomach knots up a little bit. That's scary stuff, right? Aren't there like beasts and like scary stuff, right? That's prophecy. And all that foretelling the future for all those 300 to 500 verses that Jesus predicts, how many people actually realized what was going to happen? I mean, you could argue the Magi maybe, but even Anna and Simeon aren't really, I mean, they're like, they recognize Jesus when he gets there, but they weren't like, the priests, all the people who knew the scriptures, they weren't ready. They weren't prepared. And I want to tell you that maybe that is the challenge of prophecy that I want to change your mind about today. We often look at it as prophecy as foretelling the future. We often look at it as like this escape room, this big puzzle to be figured out. It's like, oh, this theory, that theory. And we get really wrapped up in, well, it could be this, it could be that. I don't have a problem with that. But if that's what you think the primary purpose of prophecy is, you're missing out on the warm boots. You're missing out on what prophecy is really, really, truly about. Can I show you what it's really about? I'll show you from the Bible. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 tells us about love. It's the love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, kind, all these things, right? It's the best of all the things. It's what we strive for as Christians. Love is at the core of Christianity. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, let love be your highest goal. And then what Paul is about to do is he's going to lay out a bunch of spiritual gifts. So what I want you to pay attention to is he says, let love be your highest goal. And the gifts are the tools that we're going to use to get to these, to the greatest of these, love. You following along? We sometimes go ahead and, oh, spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, the gift of prophecy, discernment. And we're like, oh, that's the point. No, the point of those is that there is like a hammer or a saw or anything else. It is there to do something else. It is not the main point. Prophecy is not the main point. Speaking in tongues, not the main point. The point of these gifts is to create love, to create spiritual goodness in our life. And notice what Paul says. Let love be your highest goal. And the word that is translated but in this particular translation also can be translated as and. I like and better. Let love be your highest goal, and you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. What? That's for Old Testament prophets. Maybe some people in the New Testament, maybe a lady named Ellen White, but that's not for us today. We're not prophets. We're not. That's not the way I read the Bible. Yes, and. I believe God still speaks through people today. And the reason I believe it is because each one of us needs to hear from God in our time, in our language, and in our way. So notice what prophecy does. One who prophesies, There are three things they do. The first one, what is it? Strengthens. That word also means to build up, constructs. It's the idea behind this word in the original language is creating a foundation. So prophecy, the first thing it does is it creates a foundation, it builds, it creates strength in a person. Prophecy is meant to construct and strengthen the spiritual foundation and the character of believers. When you look at prophecy, is that what you're looking for? Or are you trying to solve a puzzle? Prophecy is there to build us up, to create a foundation. There are pastors all over the world today speaking prophetically on God's behalf to strengthen the foundation of your life. Did God show us a vision? Not necessarily, but through our listening to him through his word and our prayer time in our life, God invites us to speak to you. And I know I just used the word pastor, but you know what? Do you know that you guys speak to me on a regular basis on God's behalf? God uses you to strengthen the foundation of who I am. Sometimes you know that you're doing it, and there are other times that God uses you without you even realizing to say the words, because when we put our lives in God's hands, a gift of the Spirit is the gift of speaking words on behalf of God to somebody who needs them. And prophecy is there to make you feel solid in your life, like those boots I talked about when I could walk on ice because they were good boots, great soles. Firm foundation. And when God speaks, when God uses the gift of prophecy, when it overflows as a gift, it creates a solid foundation for us as believers. The second element of it is encouragement. And what I love is in the original language, this word encouragement means one called alongside to help. Is that the way that you experience prophecy? Because the way I grew up experiencing prophecy is it felt like it was a weight and it was pushing me down. It felt overwhelming for me. And yet true prophecy, prophecy that is done and interpreted correctly, comes alongside. It embraces, it holds. It's that person when you've got your leg, you know, you fall and you sprain your leg and the person comes alongside and holds you and helps you get to the sideline. That's what prophecy is meant to do, is meant to come alongside and be something that you can hold on to. It involves stimulating faith and urging listeners to persist in a righteous living, not through shame or blame, but through love and compassion and walking alongside. The final element of true prophecy that is the kind that God wants, according to Paul, is prophecy comforts. It addresses emotional and psychological distress. Have you ever thought, why is this happening to me? Well, how could God let this be? Prophecy comes alongside and says, God is with you. Yes, you are suffering. Maybe this is what God wanted. Maybe it's something that just came because there is evil in the world. But no matter what, God is with you. God doesn't hate you, and God is for you. That's what true prophecy does. So I have to move quickly yet again. I want you to turn your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. And I'm going to do something that's going to be deeply unpleasant for a few of you here. I'm going to read through the story, and I want you to see if you can find those three attributes that I talked about in this story. The attribute of comfort, the attribute of strengthening, the attribute of encouragement. I'm going to read through the story, but I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I want you to figure out for yourself. Now, if you're a particularly brave person, you can do something. When you see one of those attributes, raise your hand. That would be a little brave and maybe a little uncomfortable. But when you see one of those, just raise your hand, and maybe that will spur somebody around you to think, oh, I didn't know. What's there? I'm going to get done with this, and I'm not going to go back and tell you, oh, this is where it is, that's where it's at. You'll just have to go in and figure it out. But I want you to know all three of those attributes in the story of Simeon speaking to Mary and Joseph. So at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "The child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Did you catch all three in there? Some of you are nodding yes. Some of you are like, And I told you, I'm not going to unpack it for you. I would love for you to go home and unpack it and look at it and ask yourself. And again, you can find all the slides on our website. You can go through it slowly on your own time. But Simeon absolutely encourages. He absolutely strengthens. He absolutely comforts. I'll throw you a freebie. What's comforting about him saying a sword will pierce your soul? Well, when that happens, she's not surprised. One of the things I hate the most is when I go to a doctor and they don't tell me what they're about to do to me and it hurts and I'm surprised. But if you tell me you're going to jab me, thank you. My favorite people are the ones who walk me through what's about to happen. Not because it's just, I know what to expect. That was a freebie. So I'm challenging you this Christmas time. Jesus is coming again. There's going to be a second advent. The Bible is chock full of promises and prophecy about that. And if you take the time to study it, if you take the time to care about it, not to try to prove your theological points, not to try to undo this like, I'm so smart because I can understand this, but if you do it so that you can strengthen, so that you can encourage, so that you can comfort, well, then truly, this might be the look you have when you open that present from Jesus. Thank you, AI. All right, so my challenge as I close today is this. Let's not be a church that's afraid of prophecy. Let's not be a church that doesn't talk about it. But let's be a church that embraces prophecy by using it to build love through prophecies. Proper use of strengthening, encouraging, and comforting.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening and have a great week.